would ask you to turn tonight in the Bible to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, found on page 191 in our Pew Bibles. Deuteronomy 6, I'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Let's pray together. O Lord, as we stand before this excellent passage of your holy word, we ask that your Spirit would teach your people, that you would open minds and hearts to understand and believe and obey what your word teaches, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I observe the trends taking place within Christian circles these days, there has been a development that has been very encouraging to me. For in recent years, I've been hearing more and more discussion about discipleship of children. Parents thinking about how to disciple their covenant children. Last Sunday evening, we took up this topic from the book of Proverbs. And tonight, I want to continue the theme by looking into the book of Deuteronomy. Now, I would suspect that as some of you viewed the title of tonight's sermon, Christian Education for Covenant Children, some of you may have expected a strong endorsement of Christian schools. On the other hand, homeschool parents might have expected that there would be a sermon on the benefits of home education. Well, I don't like to disappoint, but I'm really not going to be talking about formal education tonight. I'm not speaking about schooling per se. That is not an unworthy topic, but I want to focus on Christian education in a broader and fuller sense. I want to direct your attention to the big picture, to the idea that Christian parents have an obligation to provide a well-rounded and a full-orbed Christian education to their covenant children. Now, a big part of that may be their formal schooling, but this goes beyond just what they study from textbooks in a classroom or in a home setting. This covers also the more informal aspects of life. That education that takes place when those children are very small, and then as they grow and they begin to explore and experience the world around them. This can take place in the home, in the church. It can take place in the grocery store or at the zoo. It is that attempt to give our children a Christian framework, so that they have the faith in its fullest sense. And so that's what I want to try and explore tonight from Deuteronomy chapter 6, that broad duty to pass on the truths of the Christian faith to our covenant children. Looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want to consider three different questions. First, what should we teach covenant children about? Then secondly, what should we teach covenant children to do? And then thirdly, how should we teach our covenant children? I think it certainly is significant that the command to diligently teach your sons comes right after the first and greatest commandment in the whole law. It really starts with the affirmation in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." That's the context, then, for this exhortation to teach them diligently. Now, the statement in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." The Shema, as it's called, was the creed of the nation of Israel. We hear that creed, and then a few verses later, Moses is saying that these words should be on your hearts and that you should teach them diligently to your sons. So I think that the first thing that we should teach our covenant children about is God's nature. We need to teach them theology. Who is this God who makes these claims on their lives? Well, He is Jehovah. He is the Lord. And this God is one. By emphasizing God's oneness, we are telling our children about His essential unity. He is the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the one true God. Now, I think it's very easy for covenant children to make an understandable mistake. The understandable mistake is tritheism. They can easily think that God the Father is the first God, or the main God, and that Jesus, God the Son, is a second God, and that the Holy Spirit is a third deity. But we simply can't allow our children to be tritheists, because we as Christians are not tritheists. We are monotheists. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so we are teaching and training our children about the glorious doctrine of the Trinity, that He is one in three persons, and that those three persons are of the same substance. They are distinct, but they are not separate. You say, can a little child understand that? Great theologians have struggled over that. Can a child really understand it? Well, it's the job of the parent to introduce those ideas and to help the child understand who this God is. By emphasizing His oneness, we are also saying to our children that our God is unique. He is the one and only true God. There is no other God like our God. Now, as our children are living in our culture, and as they're constantly being massaged by messages from the media, they're hearing the same thing that you're hearing. Islam is a wonderful and grand religion of peace. And the God of Islam is the same God we find in the Bible. And they're being taught all the time about different religions and other gods. What's a child to make of that? What is a child to think of that? I don't doubt that covenant children sometimes wonder, how do we know that the Christian God, the God of the Bible, is true? What's the job of the parents to say, you know, our God is the unique God, the only true God. And let me show you how he is distinctively different from the God of Islam, from Allah. So the parent is engaging in theological training, teaching the covenant children about the nature of God. We should also be teaching their little hearts about God's covenants, that the Lord is our God, and we are his people. We are bound to him, and he to us, by means of the covenant of grace. And you know, this is really important because those covenant children have a share in the covenant. They have received the sign and the seal of the covenant. God has included them in the covenant, and part of our duty as parents is to say to our children, my little child, my dear, you have a share in God's covenant. You have a place and a part in his church. And you need to know that he is your God, because he has promised to be not only the God of your mom and dad, but the God of our descendants after us. This can be as simple as explaining to a little child that it is okay for a covenant child to pray, Our Father who art in heaven. That's a covenantal statement. And so we need to explain to them who God is and explain this idea of the covenant to them as well. It's also imperative that Christian parents communicate God's commands. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons. And so as Christian parents, we are passing on the commands of God, his laws, his statutes, his decrees, and his ordinances. Now, we always do this in the context of the covenants. We don't do this apart from the covenant, or it quickly becomes a set of rules by which a child can earn God's favor. So we're starting with this God who is a covenant God, and in that covenant relationship, he has given us these rules as a way to relate to him, but not as a way to earn his favor or salvation. Then as we go on, we're teaching them, here's what God requires, here's what God expects. And I think the best place for a parent to start, and yes, this is a little self-serving, the best place to start is with the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long. A verse that I've had all my children memorize is this, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That's a child's chief duty. That's the one set of commands that God has given that are focused especially directly to children. And as they learn to obey mom and dad out of a cheerful heart of gratitude, they're gaining a certain skill in obeying authority. And then as we have that obedience to authority put in place, the parents can say, oh, well, that's not all that God has said. He's also said you should not lie, and you can't steal, and you need to keep his holy day. And so we're introducing them progressively into more and more of the commands of God, always within the context of the covenants. And we're helping them to start roughing out the Christian life and what it means to live a life of holiness and a life of faith. And so we're teaching them to obey whatsoever Christ has commanded. This is discipleship. We also see from verses 7 through 9 that Christian parents should instruct their covenant children about God's world. And I think really every aspect of life is in view. As you're walking through life, as you're sitting down, as you're rising up, as you're on the road or at home in bed, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're constantly seeing the world through God's eyes. This is really the task of inculcating a Christian world and life view for our children and teaching them to understand the world as God has declared it. So there you are in the grocery store, and you've got your son or your daughter with you, and you're walking down the vegetable aisle, and you say, "Hey, Johnny, do you see those peas over there? You know who made those peas? God made those peas. Why did he make peas? Well, he made peas so that you and I could have something to eat. But he also made peas for a greater purpose, for his own glory. Hey, do you see the carrots over there? And the milk? Let me tell you about this world in which we live." Or take your children to the zoo. The zoo is a great place to teach children about God's creative genius and his great power. Look at the elephants and talk to your child about why God made the elephant the way he did and what a wonder of engineering the elephant is. So as we're walking through life, we're constantly teaching and shaping and molding their minds so that they have a Christian perspective. We don't want our covenant children to grow up as practical atheists with a pagan outlook on life. We don't want them to get out there and think that God is someone who exists at church but has no relevance outside there in the world. We want them to be able to see that this whole world reflects God's glory. And it's our job as parents to teach them, to train them, to show them. Then finally, later in this chapter, we see that we should also teach them about God's great works, particularly and especially his work of redemption. Later on in this chapter, it says, "When your son asks you in times to come, 'What do all these testimonies and statutes mean?' Well, then you shall say to him." This was the parents' cue to begin talking about the Exodus and how they were slaves in Egypt, but how God remembered his covenant and took them out of Egypt with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And he brought them to the Red Sea, and the Egyptians were hot on their tail, but God stood between them. And then the sea opened up, and the people of Israel went through the sea, and the Egyptians went through the sea, and God crashed the water down on top of them and killed Pharaoh and his army. And we danced on the shores of the Red Sea as we saw those Egyptian corpses floating to the surface, because our God saves his people. You see, you're supposed to talk to your children about redemption. Talk to them about God's sovereign grace. Speak to them about what Jesus did on the cross and why the empty tomb speaks with a clear voice of the victory of the Son of God. So we are talking to them not just about the world, but about God's great work of redemption. And we're teaching them the doctrines of our faith. Well, part of an education is instruction in facts. And children certainly need to know information. Knowledge is vital, but knowledge always has a practical side to it as well. We learn in order to do. Our theology informs our practice. And so in addition to conveying that important information, We must also pass on to the next generation the practical duties of the Christian life. And the first duty that we should train into our covenant children is the duty to listen carefully to the Word of God, to take it to heart, and to meditate upon it. We see this in verse 3. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly. And then it says it again in verse 6. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your hearts. We need to listen carefully to the Word of God. We need to diligently meditate upon its meaning. That word should be impressed on our hearts so that it leaves its mark, that the impression is there. Think of a soft piece of clay. You take that mold and you press it in. And as the mold goes into the clay, it leaves its mark. It leaves its presence. And you take it off, and there left in the clay is an exact opposite replicate of the original. And so the Word of God is pressing on to our hearts, and it's leaving its mark so that it shapes us, it molds us. And we as Christians must be happy to have God's Word playing that part in our lives. We want to have God's Word shaping us and molding us. And we want it for our children too. There's so many things that compete for our children's time and attention. And as they get older, it will only get worse. Whether it's music, or television, or movies, or the internet, there are a zillion things to fill up their time. We need to train them, even from young ages, to make time to meditate on the Word of God. One of the goals of my family over the course of this summer is to get back to the practice of all of us having a daily time of Bible reading and devotions. We used to do that very consistently. We got busy. It started to slip. DeLu noticed it first, called it to my attention. I started to see it too. And so this summer I said, we're going to make this a goal that we're going to read and meditate on the Word of God individually every day. And while we haven't accomplished it consistently yet, we're working towards that. Because it's important that these little hearts absorb the Word of God. Well, the first duty leads to the second. And the second is found in verse 2. So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God. The second duty is to fear God. For this is the beginning and the very foundation of all true wisdom, to fear God. Not as a cringing slave fears a cruel and unjust master, but instead this is the deep and healthy respect that loving children have toward a kind and gracious Father. And so we want ourselves and our sons and our grandsons to fear God through our days. A third duty follows quickly on the heels. For along with fearing God, we are also commanded in verse 5 to love the Lord our God with our whole being. For you see, the fear of God is always connected with a love for God. Above all else, We are to love Him who first loved us and gave up His only begotten Son for our sakes. Loving God is the primary obligation of life. And we need to teach our children that they too should love the Lord our God with all their little hearts, with all their little souls, and with all of their young might. We don't want children that grow up to be theological experts devoid of the love of God. Now, I hope my children do grow up to be theological experts, but I hope that they're known as people who love God with all their being. And we need to tell the children, God calls you and commands you to love Him. And if you do nothing else in your life, if you love God, you have done the chief thing. And in a sense, everything else hangs on that one duty. Well, another duty is one that I think is much neglected in our day. We need to teach our children to talk openly and freely about the Lord and about His ways. You see this in verse 7. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall talk to them. You're talking with your children about the Lord and about His ways, His commands, His precepts, His promises, His blessing. I don't know why it is that we as Christian people can talk openly and freely about the weather, about the prospects of our sports team, about television or movies we've seen, about car problems, about taxes, even about politics. But we're so mute when it comes to talking about the Lord our God and His commands. Sometimes in the Christian community, it is like pulling teeth to get people to say even a few things about the Lord. Perhaps that's because parents have not done a real great job in saying it's okay, it's normal, it's natural to speak about spiritual things. We are going to talk about the Lord. We are going to talk about His ways. And so it's good for us to take opportunities to train them to speak openly about the Scriptures. Well, a final thing that we should teach our children to do is to apply Scripture to every aspect of life. As we're walking and talking through life, we don't want to carry out abstract, disconnected theological discussions with no bearing on real life. But rather, we want to speak about the Lord and about how His commands and His ways apply to everyday situations. Children do not instinctively know how to apply the Scriptures to their lives, and so the parents have to train them and teach them in these skills. You might start by taking some clear scriptural principle. Thou shalt not steal. Stealing is wrong. And then you begin watching your child for a situation and an opportunity where they might struggle with stealing or they might be in the habit of stealing. And if you think that this doesn't happen, just watch some of our young children play together. Grab, take, mine, no, mine. And you step in and you say, now here's something that God speaks to. Did you know that in the Bible it says you're not supposed to steal? So when you just grab that toy from your brother's hand, and you're not taking it in a nice and proper way, you're not asking for it, you're just grabbing that toy, did you know you're violating one of God's commands? Now let me show you how that leads to further strife. Because once you've stolen from your brother, what's he going to want to do? He's going to want to steal right back from you. And pretty soon we're going to have thieves abounding in our house. We don't want that. How should we do it differently? Instead of stealing, let's treat each other as we ourselves would like to be treated. So how would you like to be treated if you had your favorite toy and your brother wanted it? Okay, now let's try it. Why don't you ask, can I please have this? And now why don't you say, sure, I'd love to share. And you train them. So that they're learning that God's word and God's commands are not flying up in the stratosphere, but these are practical, everyday duties. And you can take this into a thousand different directions. And you can train your children on how to obey the word of God, how to apply it in day-by-day situations. So that shows us some of the things we are to teach them about, some of the knowledge, the information, but it also shows us what we are to teach them to do, the practical duties. Now we close with our third question. How should we teach our covenant children these things? How are Christian parents to train their covenant children in the practical as well as the knowledge? Well, first and foremost, I think that you should teach your children by example. If you're trying to train covenant children in some aspect of Christian truth or Christian duty that you yourself don't believe and won't practice, your bad example is going to overwhelm your best efforts to teach them. Kids are very keen to see the inconsistencies of parents. Children can spot the difference and say, Mom, Dad, why is it that you're telling me to do what you won't do? Why are you telling me to believe what you don't believe? And it's really not enough to say, be quiet. Do as I say and not as I do. That's the creed of the hypocrites. By your example, you are teaching and training every single day. And so as your kids watch you, they are learning. And your example is either going to greatly enhance your teaching or it is going to undermine it. And so if you want your child to listen to God's word and to treasure it up in their heart and to obey it in their life, you better show that in your own responses to the word of God. And so we're always teaching, even when we're not conscious and deliberate about it, we are always teaching because children are always watching and they're always learning. The same thing came up in Sunday school this morning. It's true for witnessing to unbelievers as well as for training our children. The life lived is going to be of utmost importance for a good, consistent, powerful witness and for teaching and instructing our covenant children. Your personal commitment to holiness matters for other people. You can't sit back and say, well, if I'm not living a holy life, that's my business. And it really doesn't impact anyone else. It may set me back a bit, but it doesn't matter that much. Oh, your holiness matters to everyone around you. It matters to your children. It matters to unbelievers, to coworkers, to neighbors, to family, to friends. And that's why we stress personal holiness and sanctification.
Because as you are living out the Christian life, and as you are loving God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, your life is set for ministry. You can be of great help to many, many people if you will get your house in order, your life under control. If you will live according to the Word of God and love Him with all your heart, you will be a ministry dynamo to touch hundreds, thousands of lives. But live in your own insulated world of personal hypocrisy. And your effectiveness in ministering to anyone is nil. And so, by your example, you are teaching and training at all times. There's also a place, though, for teaching by precepts. God has given us verbal commands in His Word, the Bible. And there is nothing wrong at all about repeating those verbal commands. In fact, this is really what it means to teach them diligently, to be repeating them over and over and over again. In my perfect world, it would be nice if I could tell my children once, they get it, and we never have to speak of this again. But it just doesn't work that way. They need repetition. They need reinforcements. And you can repeat the commands of God. Do not steal. Do not steal. Thou shalt not steal. Let him who steals steal no more, but let him labor with his hands so that he might have something good to give to those in need. Do not steal. Have I told you this? How many times have I told you this? Stop stealing! And we're constantly bringing the commands, the Word of God, to bear. And so there is the life example, but there's also the verbal instruction. And those two really go together very powerfully and very nicely when there is an essential consistency between them. We might also observe that in the Hebrew educational model, there was an important place for dialogue and discussion. Talk with your sons. When your sons ask you, then you shall say to them. Have you ever noticed how many times Jesus carries on dialogues in His ministry? Oftentimes, even with His enemies, the hard-hearted Jewish leaders. He discusses, He dialogues. And this is important. If we are to teach and train them in the knowledge of God and the duties of the Christian faith, we need to have some give and take. And this happens more and more as children grow older and are able more to interact intellectually as adults. And you go from the kind of top-down instruction that you give to a 2-year-old, because I say, to saying, let's sit down and consider this. Let's talk about this. Let's interact over this. And that kind of dialogue and discussion helps, especially an older child, to own the truth for themselves. Because it's not just something my parents required of me, but it's something I've engaged my mind in. And I'm convinced that this is true. Independent of my parents, thanks to them for introducing the subject, but independent of their authority, I believe it's true because I've come to grasp it for myself. So there's a good place for discussion and dialogue. And then finally, I think that all of our teaching of our children must be done with much love. God Himself is love. He has loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. He commands us to love Him with all our heart, soul, and might. And elsewhere in His Word, He commands us to love our neighbors as ourselves. The whole law of God is summarized in two precepts, love God and love your neighbor. The whole thing is about love. And so I think our teaching and our training has to be an expression, an outworking of parental love for our children. And so everything we say and everything we do must come in the context of that genuine affection, that loving care, that deep concern. We're not training our children in this because we hate them or because we just want to get them out of the house as quickly as possible. We're doing it because we love them, because we love God. And so everything about our training and our teaching must flow from sincere and genuine love. Let's pray. Father, help us to love you and help us to teach our children diligently so that they might know you and that they might love you too. Lord, we know that this only comes about through your grace. And so please, O Lord, graciously use our feeble efforts to build up these covenant children in the love of God. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.